Good morning. I am excited to be back. And I have missed you all, and it seems like, for me, it seems like I've been gone for a month. The nation of Israel was camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They had been slaves in Egypt. And finally, after 10 plagues, Pharaoh thrust them out. Then, of course, changed his mind and pursued them. And Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea. And the children marched and marched around. And they came to the Sinai Peninsula. And it was while they were camped there that Moses went into the mountain and received from God the covenant, which the Israelites were to keep throughout their generations. I didn't cite all those verses because there are several times in the Bible it says God would give a commandment, a statute, and he'd say, you should keep this throughout your generations. Now, I want you to understand that that phrase, throughout your generations, does not mean forever and ever. It does not mean eternally. It means what it says, throughout your generations. The Ten Commandments were the first stipulations of that covenant, kind of like our preamble to the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. It wasn't the entirety of the law, but it was the basis of the law that God made with Israel. It provided the fundamental and representative tenets of the old law. It's as if the Ten Commandments were the basis, and then the rest of the covenant, the rest of the law, helped Israel to keep those Ten Commandments, those basic principles. Very similar to Jesus' Beatitudes at the Sermon on the Mount. Describe for us the basic tenets of Christianity and the balance of the Sermon on the Mount and the New Testament, as far as that goes, serves to help us keep those beautiful attitudes or beatitudes. The Ten Commandments are very prominent in society, at places. You remember a few years ago, there was a big uproar in Alabama where they wanted the Ten Commandments removed from the courthouse because some whiny woker got their feelings hurt. But the Ten Commandments are seen displayed in prominent places. And, you know, people are always talking about, you know, this part of the Ten Commandments, or they just have a prominent place in society, less today than they once had. But my question is, are Christians today still bound by the Ten Commandments as found in the Old Testament? Or did Christ usher in a new covenant which supersedes the old or first covenant? If you would glance at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, you'd know the answer right now. Many of you already know the answer. And so I'm not giving you any new information today. Some of you may not be aware of these things, and this may be new information, or this may be something you'd never considered before. But it's vital that we understand it. It's vital that we understand the authority behind the law we obey. In your bulletin, in the inside, there is a chart, which is basically my sermon for today. You'll be pleased to know I'm not going to read every one of the scripture references, but I'm going to read a lot of them, and we're going to consider them, and we're going to talk about them. First thing I'd like to point out to you, with regard to the Ten Commandments and the subsequent Old Testament law, that it was given to the Jews only. We need to understand that. We need to appreciate that. The Ten Commandments and the Old Testament law was given only to the Jews. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the record says, "And Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them." What are the statutes and the judgments he's talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament law. Ten Commandments on. In verse 2, he says, "Jehovah our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, the Israelites, even us who are all of us here alive this day." The covenant was made between God and the children of Israel only. Didn't go back to Adam and Eve. They were dead. Didn't go back to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. They're dead by now. This is not a covenant that he made with our fathers, but he made it with us who are here alive today. So that excludes the Gentiles. That excludes Christians, because there were no Christians alive during this day. And there wouldn't be for 1,500 years. So that answers the question for us. Are Christians amenable to the Ten Commandment law? No, because they weren't around then. Secondly, to buttress that point, I'd have you turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. In verse 31, and we will learn here, secondly, that the Ten Commandments and the subsequent law were temporary. They were never designed to be forever and ever. They were just to go throughout their generations. Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant." Who with? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt." We know that as the Exodus. "Which my covenant they break." I made this covenant with them. I took them out of Egypt, God is saying, and I rescued them, and I brought them into this land, and I gave them this covenant, and they broke it. He says, "I was an husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Jehovah. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Jehovah." And here's the part that is important, most important for you and me. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." They didn't have that under the Ten Commandment law. There was no forgiveness. There was no pardon for sin. There was simply a moving of the sin debt forward a year on the Day of Atonement. The sin was not forgiven. They just had a stay of execution for a year. And then another year rolled around and the high priest would go into the holiest of holies and he would offer for the sins of the people and the sin would be rolled again for another year. And then the next year he would go back in and do the same thing over and over and over. The people never got rid of the guilt of their sin. But under this new covenant, he would forgive them. This passage in Jeremiah 31 is repeated almost verbatim by the Hebrews writer in chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. Because the Hebrew writer is trying to get the point across that I'm trying to get across this morning, that we are not amenable. We are not answerable to the Ten Commandment law. See, it was prophesied here that the law was temporary. In Galatians chapter 3, that the law was temporary is explained for us. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." You remember that great promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, where he promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation and that he would rescue the people. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed," singular, "which is Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law of Moses," how do I know that? "Which was 430 years after the promise made to Abraham, cannot disannul that should be made the promise of none effect." And we jump down to verse 19. And he says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" In other words, what was the reason for the Ten Commandment law? "It was added," he says, meaning added to the promise that God made Abraham. "The law given to Moses was added to the promise made to Abraham because of their transgressions." God cannot condone, allow, align with sin. So there had to be a punishment. There had to be something. So the people, because of their sins, they were given this law, which reminded them of their sin, of their transgressions, of their infractions against God. And he made it so that they could never get rid of it until the new covenant was made. So why then do we have the law? It was added because of transgressions. For how long? Paul says, till, that's pointing to a time, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. What's the seed he's talking about? Go back up to verse 16. "To Abraham and his seed the promise was made, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ." So that Old Testament law, the Ten Commandment law, was in force from that time until Christ. So we see that the Ten Commandments were temporary. It was prophesied by Jeremiah. It was explained for us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, as we've just looked at. And finally, we see that promise, that taking away of that Ten Commandment law was fulfilled, just like Jeremiah said it would happen. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 15, we referenced it earlier. Paul, if Paul be the writer, he says, "For this cause, he," Christ, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant," the Ten Commandment law, "they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, the record says very plainly, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. The new covenant. Remember what Jeremiah said? "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So, the conclusion we draw from this is that the Ten Commandment law, as a law, no longer applies to us today. It's been done away with. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes, if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. Now, what's he talking about? What was written and engraven in stones? The Ten Commandments, by the finger of God. If that law was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So Paul is contrasting that ministration, that dispensing, that law of death written and engraven in stones that was going to be done away. And he contrasts it with the Spirit, meaning that law which the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, has brought to us. We see also in verse 11 of that text, Paul writes, for if that which is done away, the Ten Commandment law, was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. In other words, if that old law was good for the children at the time, if that old law served the purpose and the function for which it was designed, and it did so perfectly, then this new law is going to be better. Now, you know and I know, when a company comes out with something and it's billed as new and improved, 9 out of 7 times it's inferior. Most of you remember New Coke? Blech. It wasn't new and improved. But I'm here to tell you that God's New Testament was an improvement. It wasn't that God failed of the Old Testament. It wasn't that God was incapable of making a perfect law. God made that law perfectly for what it was designed to do. And it brought us to Christ. We look at Colossians chapter 2 and 14. Paul tells the brethren there that Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The Ten Commandment law died when Christ died. Colossians 2:14. So the Bible tells us that the Ten Commandment law was brought for a specific purpose, and it was brought for a specific duration, and that duration, that law ended with the death of Christ. Now somebody might be saying, and this is for your learning, so you can answer these same arguments when people want to talk about, you know, if you want to go to heaven today, you have to keep the Ten Commandments. If you keep only the Ten Commandments, if you do only that, it won't get you to heaven today. It's an insufficient law. It no longer has authority. Does Jimmy Carter have authority today? Or Bill Clinton? Or Barack Obama? Or Donald Trump? Do any of them have executive authority today? No, they don't. They're not in power. They're not in force. The Ten Commandment law has no authority, has no power today. Wait a minute, John, somebody says. So you're telling me that it's okay to murder somebody? Because the Ten Commandment law says, thou shalt not murder. You're saying the Ten Commandments is not authoritative today, so therefore we are allowed to murder. Wrong. That is the worst kind of Bible study. That is the worst kind of a Bible student known. 9 of the 10 commandments were carried over to the New Testament. And I don't like saying it that way, but I don't know of another way to say it. The first commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's still a law today, but not because it's in the Ten Commandments. It's because it's in the New Testament, in Matthew 4 and verse 10. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. That's the same thing as thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's still against the law, but it's not the law of Moses. It's the law of Christ. Christ is the authority that now says no other gods. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4, the second commandment, thou shalt make no graven images. That's still against the law. Not because Moses said it in Exodus 20, but because John wrote by inspiration, little children, keep yourself from idols. Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Exodus 20. It's still against the law, but not because Moses said it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When a name is hallowed, it is revered, it is respected, and it will not be used in vain. In Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus said, But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're not to take the name of the Lord God in vain. And here Jesus says, idle words will cause us to be condemned. Vanity, it's idle. So it's wrong to do that, not because Moses commanded us, but because Christ commanded us. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath, or remember the Sabbath, and keep it holy. There's no reference in the New Testament to Christians keeping the Sabbath. Not one. The Sabbath was the last day of the week. It was a day of rest. People say, well, the Sabbath was a day of worship. No, it wasn't. It was a day of rest. Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a day of worship. It's the first day of the week. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. That terminology is foreign to Scripture. Our Sabbath comes at the end of time when Christ ushers the church to heaven. That's when we rest. That's when we rest from our labors. Honor thy father and mother. Exodus 20 and verse 12. That's still a rule. That's still a law. But not because Moses said it, but because Paul, by inspiration, wrote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother." And he alludes to the promise, parenthetically here. He says it's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. The original quote said that thou mayest live long in the land, meaning the land of Canaan. That doesn't mean that if children obey their parents, nothing bad will ever happen to them. It's a general proposition here. Typically, generally, if children obey their parents, things will go well. Not always. Thou shalt not murder, Exodus 20 and verse 13. We learn from the new covenant, thou shalt not kill, Romans 13, 9, Matthew 5, 21, 22, 1 John 3, 15. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Boy, this one takes a beating. It took a beating under the old law, and it's taking a beating under the new covenant. In Romans 13, 9, thou shalt not commit adultery. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Matthew 19, 9. Except it be for fornication. There are people who have no idea or have no intention of ever cheating on their spouse. And yet, because of a prior divorce, they are now married and living in the state of adultery. God has made it very clear who can be married and who cannot be married. If you've never been married, you can get married. If your spouse has passed away, you can remarry. If your spouse cheated on you, you can remarry. If you don't fall into those three categories, and you're married, you are living in adultery, which the Bible strictly condemns, Old Testament and New Testament. And if you find out you're living in adultery, you have to repent of your sin. That means you have to get out of that adulterous union, according to the words of Jesus, Matthew 19. Thou shalt not steal. Exodus 20, 15. Pretty good rule, pretty good law, isn't it? It's in the New Testament as well. Let him that stole steal no more. Ephesians 4, 28. Thou shalt not bear false witness. 1 Peter 3, 10, Peter writes, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." And thou shalt not covet. Exodus 20, 17. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." 9 of the 10 commandments renewed in the New Testament. They do not stand on the authority of the 10 commandment law of Moses. They stand on the authority of the inspired writers of the New Testament. So let's put it down where the cattle can get it, and the calves can get it too. We are not answerable to any of the Ten Commandments as in the Old Testament, but we are answerable to the New Testament law, and all but one of these is here repeated or presented to us. The Ten Commandment law was given to the Jews only, until the advent of Jesus Christ. And with the coming of Christ came the new covenant and the removal of the old. 9 of the 10 were retained except for the Sabbath. And so those today who are trying to be justified by the Old Testament law, the 10 commandments, Paul had this to say, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law." ye are fallen from grace. I hope that clears up any questions or misunderstandings you may have had regarding the Ten Commandments. They are wonderful principles for us to live by. The Ten Commandments, which are repeated in the New Testament, except for the Sabbath law, are laws by which we are to live. Christ's law is more than the Ten Commandments. It's more than the Beatitudes. It's the entirety of revealed word of God. God has revealed to us that he wants us to go to heaven. And as we studied in Bible class this morning, it was by God's grace that he offered us the means of salvation through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. But faith is not merely a mental exercise. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, James 2:24. We have to be obedient, not for the earning of our salvation, but for being in compliance with the demands of the Lord. Believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart. Repent. Turn from your sins. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And then confess with your life the Lord Jesus. And then finally, to get rid of your sins, you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism, washed in the blood of the crucified Son of God. And though he were dead, yet he liveth, and now lives to make intercession for us. He wants to forgive you of your sins, but he won't do it against your will. If you need to become a child of God, if you want to be baptized this morning, take a seat on the front row. Or if you need to repent, having obeyed the gospel, we urge you to take a seat on the front row and let us assist you with your needs right now, please, as we stand and sing.